Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1067. This is your host, Danny, and joining us this week, we have, of course, the whole Gamer Tag Radio crew. Let's start with Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, what is going on? Good morning. Thank you, everyone that's tuning in. And it's been a good week for video games. The next generation of gaming is truly here now.
Oh, okay. Ooh. So forget about the consoles now. It's all about PC now.
It's been about PC.
No, I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth, Danny.
Just in case. And also joining me is Pete Rockman. Pete, what's going on, man?
All right, everybody. I need y'all to start donating to my 3000 series card fund. I need money now.
We are going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure to find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, share with your friends, and it will help us out to climb on top of the charts. Also, if you'd like to be part of fan mail, which we're going to be playing a couple of voicemails, hopefully later on this episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So, Paris, I know a couple days ago you had a special live stream sponsored by NVIDIA. How did it go, man? Overall, before we talk about the presentation and everything.
Oh, sure. So first and foremost, you know, thank you to NVIDIA GeForce. Yes, they approached me to do a sponsored live stream of their Ampere reveal for the 3000 series cards. And amazing turnout on the stream. A lot of great interaction during it live. You know, people having, you know, technical questions, things like that. And I thought the stream overall, what NVIDIA showed, was fantastic, man. So thank you to them. And yeah, it really got me excited for what's about to happen in gaming. And that's why I specifically said it's not just PC. This is going to be on the console side as well. But we'll just go from there.
I think we should just start right now, man. Let's talk about it, man.
Pete, I don't know if Pete wants to say anything. Before I jump in, because when I start talking, I probably won't shut up.
So. I know. Okay. And we don't want another instance like the last live show where interrupting all over the place. So, But I actually said this on Twitter right after the showcase from NVIDIA that it's funny how everybody said that there was finally parity from the console side meeting up with PC, and it actually did appear like that right after the thing. But man, let me tell you, it validated my decision to go full PC as my primary platform after watching that, to see the jump in performance from the top tier 20 series card right now, the 2080 Ti. I don't really consider the Titan as a gaming accessory. It's a workstation, you know, card. But to see the 3080 being the low man on the totem pole for 3000 series cards, being the equivalent of the 2080 Ti right now, and then seeing
correction, you said 3080.
Sorry, 3070. The 3080 being basically, you know, two times a 2080 Ti. And then the 3090 being 25% more than the 3080. It showcases just how much that technology jump happens every time. And to see how much it jumps, because usually it's a 20 to 30% jump on performance from the previous generation. And to see just how much they were able to jump that with this new series. And then if that wasn't enough to see them come in at that low price, starting at 500 for the 3070, 700 for the 3080, and then was it 1500 for the 3090. They came to play. They came to play. Apparently, I can't remember the person's name, but they left AMD about a year or two ago, and they're now over at NVIDIA. But to see what they've been able to bring over, you know, saying, look, you can bring performance and low cost at the same time. You know, it's not that bad of a thing. You know, kudos to NVIDIA. The game is truly afoot because now I want to see how AMD comes to battle with that.
Okay, so couple corrections on something you said. So let me start off this way. So NVIDIA on Thursday also invited me to an all-day technical session overview for the 3000 series card. So I got a more deep dive on the technical side of what these cards can do, the performance and all that, not to mention the hardware and the software aspects as well. When we talk about NVIDIA broadcast, we talk about DLSS, things like that. So that said, couple corrections. The 3070, yes, is basically the equivalent of a 2080 Ti. It is the 2080 that the 3080 has two times the performance of.
Okay.
The 3080 is about 40% more than a 2080 Ti. Just you know, so you understand the performance jump that we're starting to see. And even already with what Digital Foundry was able to do, they obviously weren't able to do a full review. Right. They weren't able to show frames, things like that, but they were able to show percentages. And you consistently saw, when in comparison to a 2080, the 3080, you're getting 80 to 90% performance increase over what a 2080 card can do. They did the games like Control, I think Tomb Raider, stuff like that. So already you're like, oh my God, look, this thing is a beast. And yes, this is clearly NVIDIA. It is showing that Big Navi, AKA RDNA 2, is going to be a threat to Ampere. And we don't know when these cards are coming out. Some stuff has started to leak, but obviously this discussion isn't directly about AMD. But this is where I will push back on you, Pete, and say, no, this actually does go to show you that the PlayStation 5 and the Series X will be, at least in the short term, challengers to high-end gaming PCs. At least when I say short term, I'm talking this year, this holiday, and into 2021. Going beyond that, as these devs get to actually take more advantage of the new architecture of Ampere and Big Navi, you're going to start to see that performance increase jump leaps and bounds. Now, yeah, I'm pretty excited about what NVIDIA got to show me. And you are correct, Pete. When we talk about the 3090 is the Titan replacement. Let's be crystal clear on that. Yes, you can obviously use it for gaming, but I've been telling a lot of people on social media, it's overkill. You get it if you want to just say you have the biggest and the best card. Do you need it? Absolutely not. You're going to be able to play the latest games in 4K above 60 frames per second using a 3080. And yes, at $699, that is an absolute value that you're going to be able to get out of this. So NVIDIA themselves also put out a video where, and they were doing direct comparison to the 2080 Ti, where you saw the 3080 basically averaging 4K 120 frames per second on that 3080 card, right? That's freaking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. When you think about that, like, look, I got the LG CX 48 inch OLED because I'm ready, because HDMI 2.1, now we can actually do 4K above 60 frames per second on a display. So I'm gonna be setting all that stuff up soon. But I'm very excited about it. And one of the bigger things that people need to understand is when we start talking about these tensor cores and we start talking about the hardware ray tracing that is built into Ampere. When you combine that with the software side of what they're able to do with DLSS, I mean, dude, we're going to see performance increases that we've yet to see. When you have Richard from Digital Foundry going, it is doing things that I've never seen, that immediately excites me, because we are about to see a big performance leap with gaming. And that goes not only on the PC side, but we're also going to see that on the console side. And the other aspect of this that people have been sleeping on is the SSD. this is why the Series X and a PlayStation 5 is going with an NVMe drive, because the fact that these cards are going to be able to almost use the SSD as virtual memory to be able to load in assets and data at unprecedented speeds, it's completely going to change the way the developers are making games. So yeah, that's why you are going to see a cutoff at some point where you can't use the old hard drives anymore. You're going to have to use these SSDs. And that is on the PC side as well. And I know there's been some controversy like PCIe 3.0, 4.0. Yes, there is a performance loss if you're at 3.0. It's minimal, but it is there, because we talked about this on Thursday during the Q&A. But even at PCIe 3.0, when you start to use these SSD drives, these M.2 drives on there, the speed increase that you're going to see, it's going to allow developers to do things with games that they've not been able to do before. That's why you're seeing the quick resume on the console. That's why when you really think about it, when third-party developers start making games that can only happen on a Series X and a PlayStation 5, that is also going to have to be replicated on the PC side as well. So you're going to see at some point where the traditional mechanical hard drives are no longer, they're not even going to be the minimum requirement. There's going to be a minimum requirement on the type of SSD drive that you can use on the PC side, you know, for certain games, because that is just the next generational leap that we're about to take. So look, games like Cyberpunk and all that, no, they're not going to take advantage of that in the short term. But when we get to, I don't know, I'm just pulling a random game out. When we get to the new Horizon game, right? Obviously, even Ratchet and Clank in the short term is going to be an early example of this, where Ratchet and Clank cannot happen on a PlayStation 4 because the PlayStation 5 has that SSD. And you're literally having two and three other levels load it simultaneously the same time you're in the level that you're in. That's why you're able to do that quick hop over into to another level, and it's seamless. You can't do that right now. Can't do that because you have to take into account the current mechanical hard drives that simply don't have the speed, the read-write access to be able to do something like that. So I'm telling you guys, then, and a shout out to Jason Ronald. He's over at Xbox. He's basically the direct. He's kind of basically the head of the whole Series X development, right? I would absolutely love to get him on this podcast, because I would like to talk about this, not just from a PC standpoint, but also on the console standpoint as well. How, with their quote-unquote velocity architecture, they're taking advantage of these SSD drives and how that's going to push gaming on console side, you know, in just the performance increase and just a generational leap that we're about to see. Look, PlayStation, I don't think we're going to get, what was it, Mark Cerny? Mm-hmm. I don't think he's coming on here.
But, no, he's not going to come anytime
but, soon. But maybe we can get Jason Ronald to come on from Xbox. But yeah, man, I'm just telling you, I'm so excited for what we're about to see. Like, again, I'll just stick with Cyberpunk as an example, because they showed that during the live stream. The ray tracing, the fact that ray tracing is going to become a standard in gaming because these cards can actually handle the performance hit now when you couple it with DLSS. And just quick, trying to not get overly technical on this. Basically, what DLSS is doing, it's doing some super sampling, right? So I can take a game running at 1080p, and then it's basically through AI going to up-res it to 4K. And to the human eye, you ain't gonna be able to tell the difference. But what this does is it takes some of the performance hit off the card, so it allows you to basically have a game in 4K with ray tracing enabled above 60 frames per second. That's what this is going to do. So, and because the fact that CD Projekt Red and NVIDIA partnered up on this to help kind of develop this tech that they're using for Cyberpunk, you can expect, if you have a 3080 card, you're going to play Cyberpunk in 4K with ray tracing enabled at least 60 frames per second. And ultra settings, by the way. I always forget to mention that. This is also with ultra settings too. That's incredible. We've not had the hardware to do that until now. That's what you're seeing. It is taking the best in hardware, coupling it with advanced software tech, this AI tech, putting them together in the synergy, and it's going to allow gaming to go to the next leap. And like I said, you're not going to see it so much here in the short term, but by holiday 2021 and beyond, it's going to start to become a standard. And I'm telling you guys, be excited about this. Am I going to tell you, run out and go get a 3070 or 3080 today? You can if you want. Honestly, the used market for my 2080 Ti, I might as well just give it away for free because the market has just crashed when I want to sell that. But the fact that you can probably go get a 2080 Ti right now for like $400 in the short term, if you're just getting into PC building and you don't care about ray tracing as an example, that card is going to be phenomenal for the next couple years. But as we move on, you know, you're going to want to step up into the 3000 series. You're going to want to see what Big Navi is, because you're going to then be able to take advantage of some of these next generational performance leaps that you're going to see in PC gaming. And then obviously if you're a console gamer, the Series X and the PlayStation 5 is coming out this holiday, but I'm super excited about it, man. And I'll just say one last thing before I shut up. NVIDIA's also left themselves some wiggle room here with that pricing of the 3080. Because it being at $700, that is a bargain in PC gaming. Trust me, with the performance you're getting out of this. If Big Navi does turn out to be a threat to what they're doing with Ampere, there's some wiggle room in there that they potentially could have a 3080 Super or Ti, whatever you want to call it, at around $1,000 to $1,100, $1,000, what the current 2080 Ti had been retailing for, and then take an even higher performance leap. Oh, and then one last thing. I know a lot of people were concerned that the 3080 is only doing 10 gigabytes of memory in it, or 10 gigs of memory, and it's at DDR6X. And the 2080 Ti was at 11, but then obviously you're seeing a 3090 at 24. What NVIDIA is saying with the way that now that they've advanced the hardware in this card, and the speeds that it's going to be able to grab data, these next generation games aren't going to have to utilize as much memory directly from the card as they have in the past. So that's why you're seeing this reduction. And we'll see. We'll see as we go on and as these devs jump in. And again, they've left themselves wiggle room that if they need to put in a 3080 Super and up the memory to 16 gigs or 20 gigs or something like that for increased performance, they have the wiggle room to do that. And they have kind of that middle in between pricing they could do that should be satisfactory. But I'm excited for it. I'm not going to have a 3080 at launch. I'm not reviewing it early or anything. I've already talked to NVIDIA about it. I will have one a few weeks after. And obviously, I'll put it through all my own little personal benchmarks and probably have a video up on the YouTube channel, stuff like that. But I'm excited for it, man. And I will say this, anyone that is looking to get a 3080 right away, you better have your ass up on the 17th around about 6 a.m. and grab one, because there's not going to be any early pre-orders on it. And there's going to be high demand for this card.
Oh, no, for
3080
sure.
And yeah. So, and then the 3090 goes on sale on the 24th. Of September, and then the 3070 is going to be at some point in October, right. But it's going to be exciting, man. I'm trust me, this week it was the first week I felt like, oh my God, we're about to hit the next generation of gaming. I can see it now. I can understand it from a technical standpoint. You may not necessarily have the games today that's going to take advantage of it, but now I see why Xbox did what they did. I see why PlayStation did what they did. And clearly NVIDIA is following along that same exact path that they're doing, which of course means AMD is going to do the same thing with Big Navi. So it's exciting times.
No, for sure.
And I'll be quiet.
Paris, there's a lot of people that are... don't have a PC and they got excited because of the presentation a couple of days ago. And what would you recommend? Should they go with 3080 or the 3070 as a first time PC gamers or what?
I would say 3070 just for this. And again, I'm talking this from a standpoint of I'm trying to play in 4K at high frames. So that's why I'm saying the 3080. If you're a 1080p or a 1440p gamer, the 3070 is a freaking monster. At 1440p, I'm telling you, this is again why I'm saying the 2080 Ti is going to be such a value as well on the used market, because that thing will be a monster at 1440p. You can use DLSS and enable ray tracing at 1440p and get high frames with a 2080 Ti. So I would say to anyone, and obviously pricing wise as well, I mean, the 3070, for all intents and purposes, knock on wood, is the same exact price as a Series X or a PlayStation 5. Obviously, a PC, you still need to, you know, you got to buy the case, the motherboard, you got to buy memory. There's other costs associated with building a PC. But if you're interested in dipping your toe into PC gaming and you want to go through that, because I recommend anyone, don't just buy a PC off the shelf. Build it yourself. It is one of the most satisfying things that you can do, is to know that you can build your own PC. But price-wise, yes, go with a 3070. Look at the used game market, you know, for these 20 series cards, because, I mean, the prices are just dropping big time already. So you can bargain, build a PC, play at 1440p or 1080p, high frames, enable ray tracing, all that stuff, at a pretty reasonable price comparative to console gaming. So, like I said, I think there's something here for everyone. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be on the PC side. This week showed me, okay, Microsoft and Sony, I get it. I get what you're doing. And that's why I say I would love to talk to more people over there on the hardware side to kind of understand their thinking, because I do believe, after what I got to hear this week, I kind of get it, but I want to confirm it. But yeah, man, I mean, it's an exciting time for anyone that, if you just want to stick to console gaming, go for it. Knock yourself out. It's going to be an amazing experience there. But if you do want to get into PC gaming, like I said, I think that 2080 Ti or that 3070 is a great starting point from a GPU. And then even when you look on the CPU, and I'm not trying to be too technical, and then when you look on the CPU side, I mean, Ryzen, right now, the prices that you could get, like a 3600 or 3700, I mean, it's pretty cheap. And those are some high performance CPUs that will work very well. And obviously Intel is coming out, Tiger Lake is coming out as well. So it's like, it's going to be exciting this holiday, man. I'm just telling you, the nerd in me has just been so excited all week, because I see what's happening, and it's an exciting time for sure.
That's good. Good to hear. Go ahead, Pete.
No, I was going to say, you were talking, Paris, about that gap, or what that potential 3070 Super Ti would be. I think Lenovo made a big mistake earlier this week. They had put something out on their website that showcased a hidden SKU that hadn't been marketed by NVIDIA. And my thinking is that's exactly where that falls. It falls right in that 370. And whether they call it a Super or a Ti, and I think they're trying to get away from that misleading nomenclature, because that's just, it's all it does is confuses the consumer. I think because that's where the largest performance gap exists, within those three new SKUs in the 3000 series, I think falling in between that 3070, 3080 line fits perfectly for them. I'm curious what the price is going to be. It'll probably, like, they'll probably have the difference between the 3070 and the 3080. But going back to what you mentioned earlier about, the performance hit, from what I've been reading, I don't know if there's going to be much, and hopefully you can detail it more here from your tech session with them. But there have been concerns across the board, and I've been having conversations on our Discord. People who have a current gen motherboard who may not be able to support PCIe 4.0, how much of a performance hit are they going to see? Because they, let's say, I've got, a current gen motherboard, but I get a 38. I'm lucky enough to get a 3080. How much of a hit am I going to see performance wise as, from, being on a PCIe 3.0 bus versus a PCIe 4.0?
Because that was like the number one question that happened during the Q&A. And on average, okay, they have seen as high as 10%, but that is very rare. Typically, it is anywhere between two to 3% difference right now between PCIe 3.0 and 4.0, but it is literally on a per game basis. So again, it can vary, and we'll see as we go forward. But you shouldn't be afraid to go get a 3080 just because you don't have a motherboard that has a PCIe 4.0 on it. If you have three, you're fine. You're fine. Again, especially in the short term, right, you're really not going to see any games in the next couple of years that truly are going to be taking full advantage of all that bandwidth that you're going to have. For if anything, you want to make sure you get a PCIe motherboard so that the CPU and the GPU can communicate faster across that IO bus. Cause RTX IO is what they're calling it. And again, this is all new stuff, so no developers are truly taking advantage of it. So you'll see it in the next few years, but right now, if you've already built a PC and it's on 3, you're fine. I wouldn't panic and think you need to go throw your motherboard out and go build another one and start grabbing PCIe 4.0 SSDs. Cause like all my M.2 drives are PCIe 3, mm-hmm. but I'm on a PCIe 4 motherboard. So at least my CPU and the GPU can take advantage of it. But I mean, from a hard drive standpoint, I'm technically 3. So it's fine. I'm not too concerned by it.
Hey, Paris, what games did they show during the technical private session that you guys had?
Same ones they did during okay. Control, Cyberpunk, Minecraft. Was that it?
Call of Duty.
Thank you. Call of Duty. Yeah. Okay. That was the other one. Thank you.
All right. Anything else from this?
Go ahead, Pete.
No, I'm just curious. What were your thoughts on the inverted airflow design on the new boards? And we'll try to keep the part brief because this might be going too deep into the tech nerd hole.
It's interesting. Like, I want a Founders Edition card for that very reason, because this is a new architecture for it. I think, again, they deep dived into that as well to have us understand the thinking on that, mm-hmm. so that. Basically, what Pete is talking about, if you look at the Founders Edition cards for the 3080 and the 3090, it's inverted now, where you basically have one fan, you know, for all intents and purposes, on the front like you traditionally do, but then you have another fan on the back, right? And the way that's working is in your case, it's going to pull in cool air, you know, from that bottom fan, and then that's going to take it through the heat sink, and then it's going to be ejected out the backside of the card. They think that's it's going to be more efficient as far as cooling the card. You know, obviously the cooler it is, the more performance you're going to be able to get out of it, overclocking, things like that. If you look at the third party cards, which most people are going to get, they're still going with their traditional, you know, three fan lineups that you've seen. Like, I know Gigabyte, they've done some upgrades. I was looking at theirs over the weekend. They've made like an improvement over the 20 series cards with the fans. EVGA, like their 4-to-1/3. I mean, that still looks the same to me. I'm not seeing too much of a difference. So it's neat tech. We'll see who really takes advantage of it. And that was the other thing. NVIDIA went with that 12-pin connector, mm-hmm. because they wanted to save space on the hardware card itself, to allow for these fans and the heat sinks and all that, so they expand that out. So that was their thinking on that as well. It's, again, this is early tech. Who knows how efficient it's going to be? We haven't seen any benchmarks on it. We're obviously only just going off of what NVIDIA says. But me personally, I will be curious to have a Founders Edition card just so I can see, is it going to be more, like right now I have an EVGA 2080 Ti. Is it going to be more efficient cooling that 3080 than EVGA does right now with this 2080 Ti? I don't know. I won't know until I get it. So we'll see.
All right. Ooh. Yeah. I'm really Ooh. Curious about that. Simply,
Danny is just ready to eject out of this. He just keeps trying to push it out.
No, I'm not. Because you know this, you already answered my questions, and I'm good.
Yeah, he's like, Pete, your questions don't count. I'm ready to move on.
F Pete.
No, I'm just. It's so good. I was curious about that because I know watching all of the drops from all of the partner cards, you know, like Asus and MSI, Gigabyte, and all of them. A lot of them are not doing anything similar to that, right? They're sticking with the traditional 2-to-3 fan, yep. in and out. The only one that I've seen, because I've really I went down the rabbit hole of going through every card on every manufacturer. Gigabyte is the only one is doing something akin,
yeah,
to
a little
that
different
with their, yep. with their, mm-hmm. with their Aorus Extreme, because they've got the two fans, but the one in the middle actually spins counterclockwise.
Yep.
And so I thought, yeah. I was like, whoa, that actually makes sense. Why don't all of the other board manufacturers do this, right? Why are they just doing the copy, cut, paste, you know, with their hardware? So it's really interesting. The 8-to-12-pin thing I noticed is really strange. You're only seeing that 12-pin mostly on the 3090, and then the board manufacturers.
No, it's on the 3080.
I know, but I'm saying there's only like you primarily see it on the 3090, but on the 3080, it's like a flip of the coin. Not all of the third party or the partner companies are doing that. Some are doing the 8-pin, some are doing the 12-pin. It's really strange how it's like, why aren't you all just
Well, again, it was done to save space more so than it. Not, it's not like it's more power efficient than just going with 2 8-pins. Got like it. You obviously have seen even 3090s are going 3 8-pins. Mm-hmm. So it's not a, oh, this is more efficient power wise. It was literally to save space on the card. That was NVIDIA's reasoning for doing that.
Since I have the Kingpin, I've done that. And yeah, it's fantastic for power consumption. But if you are looking into buying one of these cards, whether it's the founder or it's a partner and it has, you know, that, make sure that you're sizing your power supply appropriately for this, or else you're going to sit there with a paperweight and not be able to take full advantage of
it. Yeah. So let me say this on that. They are recommending, and I'm looking in the camera as I say this, sorry, audio people. They're recommending, I'm taking my glasses off on this one. They're recommending 750-watt power supplies. Get an 850 at least. Don't push it to the edge, especially if you're trying to go with a 3090. I would not risk that at all. I would get at least an 850-watt. And to be honest with you, I have an 850-watt. Who knows? There could be a world where I wind up getting a 3090. I'm even nervous about that with a 3090. Just me, I would go with a 1,000-watt if I'm going to go with a 3090. You'll be fine with a 3080, but I would not go with that bare minimum 750. If you already have a 750, you want a 3080, that's what they recommend. I guess go for it. But my 2 cents, I would just go get an 850 just to make sure I have that extra headroom, especially if you're looking to start overclocking or doing anything like that. I mean, the power consumption of these cards have gone up compared to the 2000 series.
Yeah. So. And on top of that, good luck purchasing, because there was a shortage out in the.
Yeah.
So as soon. Yeah. Oh, no, there was already a shortage. It's mostly because of the pandemic, a lot of people working from home. So a lot of people were out building their own PCs and stuff like that. There was already a mass shortage on power supplies. Now with you have the 3000 series cards coming out for sale. As soon as those things hit the market, people start going to buy new power supplies to support their new builds. You're going to see another dip in stock and shortage availability now. So if you do see it and you are going to be upgrading your equipment, you are going to be upgrading your power supply, get it now if and while you can, because when that go live goes and people try to start doing bundles on their new egg carts, etc., you're going to see another dip in inventory shortage. So just a heads up, just a warning.
For more information, make sure to search for Paris on YouTube and make sure to check out his video from last week. It was cool. It was awesome seeing Paris' reaction when they announced the price of the 3080. You were like, oh my God.
That was I couldn't. I could not believe that. I didn't believe, because I honestly thought it would have been at least 900. I really did. I thought $900,000 for that 3080, because the rumors of the 3090 being around 1500, which turned out to be true. But I'm telling you, the fact that you could get that card for $700 is, with the performance that you're getting, is a bargain. Because again, they are doubling the performance that you got from the 2080. Think about it, for the same price, double the performance and 40% more than the 2080 Ti. Trust me, the nerd in me has been just giggling and skipping around the house all week because I cannot wait to get this card. I can't wait to be playing Destiny 2 4K at 120 frames. You have no idea. I'm ready. I'm freaking ready. Let's do it.
If for most people, Paris, you're the exception to the norm, but if you can get the card, because it's that shortage. And also going back to that price thing, because of all the scalpers and all the people who are going to bombard the digital stores, I'd be lucky if we can get it for those stated prices. Because I think these the online markets, they're going to bump that price up. I think that price is going to go up. It's going to get inflated just because of
it's just because of
inventory.
Yeah, I'm telling you, September 17th at 6 a.m. Pacific time, you better be on Newegg, Best Buy, Amazon, everywhere else if you want that card, and because they're going to go quick.
And I feel bad for the IT, the network, and the security people that work for all of these online online marketplaces, because their sites are going to get bombed. Everything is going to crash, and I'm just going to sit in the background and say, this is why I'm waiting for 3 months.
No, but for those who are listening, make sure to send us feedback, questions about all this. Remember to hit us up, fanmail at gamertagradio.com, or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so it's time for fan mail. Let's do this.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have first voicemail.
You should do a better job when introducing the voicemail. You just play it.
Oh,
that's basically all you did.
F you.
Should I go back to doing the voicemail voice?
Yes. Yes, I don't like how Danny does it.
Fan
all right,
mail.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, voice
mail. Fan mail.
Dan. All right.
Damn.
All right. Here's voicemail one.
All right.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Darren from New Jersey, longtime listener of the show, but this is my first time calling in. Sorry if there's background noise. Calling from the beach right now, but I wanted to ask your thoughts on the topic of backwards compatibility. Do you think it's a major feature for a system to have, and do you think the backlash of a system not having it is warranted? It's been a topic of discussion for a couple of generations now, but I personally don't see it as a big deal or a deal breaker for buying a system. I like Sony's approach of treating PS5 as next gen with games designed to take advantage of the new hardware. I think even them adding PS4 support to please some fans can wind up becoming a PR problem if some games don't work because of the SSD. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for that voicemail. And backwards compatibility, that obviously has been a hot topic this week due to Ubisoft basically leaking out that the PlayStation 5 allegedly will not have backwards compatibility, you know, from the PlayStation 3, 2, and 1. And we already know it's limited backwards compatibility for the PlayStation 4, at least at launch. Does it matter? Yes and no. It matters if it matters to you. I do think it's an individual thing. Me personally, I'm fine. I think it's cool that there's backwards compatibility, like what Xbox has been doing, building up their portfolio with their backwards compatibility all the way to the original Xbox. I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic that emulation exists and that you can do it. So if you have those old games, you want to go back and experience them, you can. I'm fine with it, but it's not a deal breaker for me. It's not going to affect my choice. If I could only get the Series X or the PlayStation 5, I'm like, well, Series X, I can play Crimson Skies or Midtown Madness 3. So that makes my decision. No, I'm worrying about the next generation of games. So to me, it doesn't, but I know it does matter to some people. You know, look, I'm going to just say this real quick. Shout out to Hip Hop Gamer, because, you know, obviously we had a little bit of fun with that back in January, where he talked about the quote unquote remastering engine from some things that he had heard. And we did like a little fun video on it, stuff like that. And obviously there's a report that came out this week kind of goes against that happening. Here's what I think. I think that does PlayStation have some patents to potentially do some emulation where that can happen? Yes, I do. Do I think it's going to happen at launch? No, I don't. Do I think it can eventually happen over the life of the PlayStation 5? Yes, I do. And I think Sony will find a way, just like Nintendo, to monetize this going all the way back to the original PlayStation 1. That's my personal two cents on it. So shout out to him, because I think there is definitely some truth to what he has said. I just don't think it's going to happen at launch. But that's it, man. I just think it's personal preference on what you want to do with backwards compatibility. I throw it to Pete. What do you think?
I really don't have a big preference on backwards compatibility. I tend, once I've dropped a game, I rarely go back to it. So I mean, it's very, very hard for me to go back to a game, whether it's, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years old. I don't have a lot of time in my schedule to play, you know, to play the older games. So I tend to focus my time and effort on the game that I'm currently maining at the moment, right? So not to say that there aren't games that I would love to go back to and play, but there's just not a lot of time and effort for me. So I'd like, for example, I love Bioshock Infinite, right? And I think we all agree that it's a great title, but I don't see myself ever going back and playing it, you know, after my original run through. Like, I, and for that, was a rarity because I played it twice. And I rarely ever do that. And I think the oldest title that I've ever gone back to as recently as, you know, just in the last 5 years, probably The Witcher 3. That's the only game where I've gone back after the original playthrough to try and play it again. So, and that's it. I mean, but that's just me personally. Obviously that, you know, that mileage varies for everybody. You know, I know Danny is a big, you know, fan of playing, you know, older titles and, you know, but you know, that's his preference. And that's the one thing that's beautiful about video games. You can play what you want, when you want, wherever you want.
Yep. I mean, I love going back and playing the old games, like P was saying, but also there's a lot of games that I missed out during that time. So a perfect example, like this week, Nintendo announced the 35th anniversary of Mario, right? Mm-hmm. And they're releasing Mario Galaxy. I've never played Mario Galaxy. And the reason why I never got to play that game, because in 2007, I even had this conversation with Paris a couple of days ago. You know how many games came out around that time? There were so many gems that I missed out. And that's a perfect example of me going back and playing these games that I totally missed out for many different reasons, you know? So I'm excited to see that coming out, right? And also, I'm glad that we also could get to play older games on the new system too, man. So I like going back, man. You know, because those games to me, they're it's history, you know? So it means a lot to me. So I will go back and replay it or play for the first time, you know? And there's, believe it or not, there's going to be a lot of people that don't have enough money to buy a $60 game. But if they go to Game Pass or just download the game digitally for cheap, they could download all these old games too, man, you know, and play it for the first time. There's nothing wrong with that. So like you said, Paris, it's true. Like there's going to be a crowd that loves that. And there's another crowd that just wants to play the new stuff and they don't care about the old one, you know? So, but I think it's important to, in my opinion, to play these games because it's part of history, man. And we've done that so many times with like games from Nintendo and PlayStation and Xbox, you know? So that's why I do that for me.
Right on. One thing, yeah. Since you're talking about the Mario thing, we should probably have a conversation about that. So How do you feel about this quote unquote limited availability until March 31st of 2021 for this Mario 35th anniversary edition? Good thing, bad thing. What do you think?
It's Nintendo. I think that they've done that before. They've done that, I think, twice. For the, it was for the Mario All-Stars for the Wii. But they said the same exact thing. They stopped and they released it again, a different version. I think they added another game in there in that package. Same thing. So I think this was going to happen. They're selling this as a bundle, limited time. After that, I could see Nintendo release it separately. Or maybe have like a part of the Nintendo Online subscription service for free. There's different ways that they could do with that, man. I mean, it's Nintendo. I'm not surprised about that at all. They've done this before. It's nothing new.
You know? What about you, Pete?
But does that make it any better? Does that make it right? You know what I mean?
No, it absolutely, so, it absolutely
not,
does not.
It's not, but it's not. But look, man, I'm a fan, and I know I'm going to buy it. Paris, you're probably going to buy it too. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Because I joked about this on Twitter when it happened, and shout out to Tony Polanco when I was on the Throwdown. We were talking about this too. Dude, I want Mario Galaxy on the Switch. I have literally been dreaming of this day to get Mario Galaxy on the Switch. So yes, I'm going to run out. I'm going to purchase it. I'm going to play it and I'm going to enjoy it. At the same time, knowing that Nintendo is being Nintendo, they've never blinked. They've never blinked when it's come to doing this stuff. So we can sit here and complain all we want, but I'm a freaking hypocrite if I do, because take it. Take my money. You got me again. But is it a great practice? No, it's not. This is clearly them doing what Disney used to do back in the 80s with the vault, where they would pull Snow White out of the vault as an example, right? You can only get it for this limited time before it goes back in the vault forever. And then people freak out and they run out and go buy it. And, you know, Mickey Mouse swims in his money bin. It's the same thing. Same exact thing.
Yeah,
they'll do this limited thing. And then watch, next holiday, they'll quote unquote repackage it to where now Galaxy 2 is available. So they'll sell you Galaxy and Galaxy 2 for $60. And my dumb ass will go buy that too because I will want to play Galaxy 2. They'll take Sunshine, put that in a Mario Odyssey pack or something, sell that for $60, and people would be dumb enough to go buy that too. You know what I'm saying? It's what they do. They've never blinked on this stuff. So no, I'm not shocked at all. At all.
Just imagine if Xbox or PlayStation will do something like that. Dude, the internet will go.
They'll lose their mind.
No, they would glass the earth on that. Yes. You know, if either of them were to pull something like this, they would glass the entire planet, you know, just because it's the outrage would just overtake the world. I think that might be the one thing that could cure the planet of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
It's just let them do this artificial scarcity to increase sales. It's incredible.
Now, I have to say on the flip side, shout out to CD Projekt Red for what they did this week. Out of nowhere, nobody saw this coming. The Witcher 3 is getting a quote-unquote next-gen upgrade on PlayStation 5, Series X, and even PC, where they're going to put ray tracing into the game. And on PC side, they're going to enable HDR as well. Holy beep, 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 beep. Did not expect that to happen at all. So I'm just telling you guys, I'm so excited for that because it just gives me another excuse between my probably 30th time playing Cyberpunk next year to where now I go play The Witcher 3. Have that in ray tracing. Again, these new cards, the new hardware on the Series X and the PlayStation 5, being able to see that game again in a different lens excites me as well. So, and it's free. Ain't charging a damn nickel for it. If you already own the game, you get it. Which, this is why studios like that get so much love, because they take care of their consumers. They don't try to nickel and dime their consumers at 2K Activision. And, you know, it makes you want to, you know, support them and buy their games and celebrate all the stuff that they're doing because of things like this. Just like Cyberpunk, obviously, is going to have a next-gen upgrade as well for free. You don't have to, if you buy it now, you don't have to worry about spending another nickel on it later. Which, another thing Danny and I were talking about, The Witcher 3 is on Game Pass. So that means, if you subscribe to Game Pass, you're getting all this too through that on Xbox. I mean, think about that. It's such a freaking bargain that you're going to be able to get these things. And yeah, I'm excited for it. Oh, one last thing. I'll be quiet, I promise. So CD Projekt Red had their investor call, right? No delays. No more delays. We're good.
That's it.
It's coming out on the 19th. It's a freaking wrap. Celebrate. I'm excited. We're at 74 days as we're recording this right now. That game is coming. It's real. It's happening. And look, I'll take my glasses off again. I'm telling y'all. I'm telling you. Be excited for what you're about to get. Because when you get it, you're going to be like, God damn, Paris was right. Just know. I'm telling you. Just know. And if you don't believe me, shameless plug, go listen to my 43-minute preview on the YouTube channel. And on here. I did it on the podcast. Find the archive. And listen to it, because what I said is true.
And it's excited. And it's no coincidence.
And I can't believe 43 minutes.
Exactly. It was no coincidence. It was 43 minutes.
Perfect. All right. Let's go with the second voicemail.
I'm not going with the second one. I'm going with the third one.
No. Well,
you told me not to go with the second one. I'm just being
second.
I'm ornery this morning. I'm excited. It's gaming.
Hey, he's just happy he's captain again. Look, you also have to take into consideration he's captain again, so he's happy about that, okay?
Yep, I can do what I want. Thank you, Pete. All right, here we go. Voicemail three, or two. Voicemail two.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Jay. With Halo being delayed, I'm seeing a lot of people wondering why they should buy the new system since there isn't another big game release on the horizon. And I'm wondering about Microsoft's strategy to start next generation. So say, for instance, Halo did come out at launch, then what? Did Microsoft really put all their eggs in the Halo basket? You know, you would think that they would know that everyone isn't a Halo fan or even a first-person shooter fan. But it doesn't seem like they have anything coming out until 2021 or maybe even 2022 because the games they've shown are early in development. And even if Halo Infinite sold as much as Call of Duty, did Microsoft really expect that one game to carry the system for 1 or 2 years before they released another big title? And I know Game Pass is the ace in the hole, but who knows how long it'll take to get Series X titles on the Game Pass service. And without Series X games, people have no incentive to upgrade to the next generation just to play current and previous generation games on Game Pass. So I'm thinking that Microsoft may have to go against their philosophy of not doing exclusive deals and secure some exclusives, or at least time exclusives, with third parties until the studios are ready to release games at a reasonable clip. What are y'all thoughts? Thanks.
All right. Thank you for that voicemail. So I'm in some agreement with what he's saying here. It really does feel like Xbox put all their eggs into the Halo basket. And I do feel like that is kind of backfiring on them now with it not being available this holiday, because what's been the big outcry from the Xbox community the past couple weeks? You have yet to show me a game running on the Series X that shows me the quote unquote next generation of game. We haven't seen it. PlayStation showed you Ratchet and Clank. So you can see, we know that's coming in the quote unquote launch window as well. So there is an early incentive to go get a PlayStation 5. I will push back and say, hardware tech aside, which I'm very excited about for what the Series X is, because the hardware tech on it is amazing. Yeah, shout out to IGN. I gave that award on Gamescom, but I had to plug it. But what's the game? What is the game that is on the Series X this holiday? Hell, in the next 6 months, that warrants I go get a Series X. So I understand that people that are frustrated about, and look, the hardcore people are going to run out day one, get it no matter what, no matter the cost, no matter the game, it doesn't matter, because that is the hardcore audience. They're doing it. Same on the PlayStation side. But the overall consumer argument is, they have yet to show me a game to get me a game. And when I say game, gameplay, don't tell me Fable and Avowed and Forza, but I didn't actually see nobody with a controller playing it. I got to see it. I got to see someone playing it. The only game that we've seen has been Halo Infinite, and we don't know when that's coming at this point. So he's right. What's my incentive to go get a Series X at launch if I'm not a quote unquote hardcore Xbox guy that was just going to go get it anyways? What's the game? They haven't shown you. I can argue, okay, third party, but I can go play third party on the PC or a PlayStation or on my current Xbox. I don't need a Series X to experience Cyberpunk, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Watch Dogs, Call of Duty, stuff like that. What's the game? That's the big question. And I'll say one last thing. Does it, from an Xbox standpoint, does it matter if you get a Series X at launch, if you subscribe to Game Pass? I think that Game Pass subscription is way more valuable to them than you actually picking up that Series X. But then I'll also argue my argument and say, what's my incentive to go get Game Pass then, unless I'm already invested in the Xbox ecosystem? There's a lot of questions and moving parts that go with Xbox coming into this launch. And it's going to be fascinating to see how they market this over the next 60 days.
I know Danny. they're going to have a, I think a game showcase for Tokyo Game Show at the end of this month, right?
You said it's not next gen.
But it's not next gen, right? So the only thing I can think of is, show us games that is going to be coming out during the launch window, maybe spring 2021, right? So if there's not going to show anything for next gen during that time, then they only have, what, 2.5 weeks to show us something?
Yes.
Right? If get announced this month. So, I don't know, man. Paris, like, okay, what happened if they say Flight Simulator, Hellblade, and they show gameplay? Will that be enough?
No, it won't. You know
not
why?
Even Hellblade 2?
You know
Hellblade
why? 2? Because Hellblade 2 ain't coming no time soon.
No, I'm saying, what if? Well, we didn't know. Jesus. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Because that's the thing with Ratchet & Clank. I thought that was going to come out in the future. I had no idea it was going to come
well,
out.
Well, we know it is. We know that from the game showcase, because basically Ninja Theory came out and said it's a ways off because it's going to be on Unreal 5.
Right.
Well, that's a wrap. Okay. That's it. Move on. Yeah.
Now, look for me, Flight Simulator. This is, take it all the way back to the game showcase. Remember, I asked Aaron this. Shocked. I said this on IGN. I said it to Aaron. I was shocked that Flight Simulator isn't coming at launch. I'm absolutely shocked because why not? It works with an Xbox controller. So it's not like, oh, we got to optimize the controls. It already does. So why is that game not on Series X? And look, it has already become a phenomenon because of the performance requirements for Flight Simulator. Like, what's the joke? It's Flight Simulator's replaced Crysis as, well, can it run Flight Simulator because of how beefy your machine needs to be to even play that game. So there's anything that could be showcasing the next generational power of a Series X hardware, it's that game. So that's something I'm fascinated to know why it's not at launch. And then, like you said, Halo's not there. Look, maybe they're scrambling in the background and that changes now, like you're saying, Danny. But when I look at what we have to expect at launch is basically third-party games, Game Pass sub, and I can backwards compatible play Gears 5, Gears Tactics, and all these other, you know, Xbox One games. That's the launch of the Series X this November. That's the pitch, unless something drastically changes. And then, like you said, Danny, in the next couple of weeks. So it's going to be interesting, man. Very interesting.
Plus price.
Yeah, and look, COVID clearly plays a factor in all this. And I'm not knocking them for it, but both of these companies are hell-bent on putting the hardware out this holiday. They're not delaying the hardware. And we know price is going to matter in this too. Why am I going to spend $500 for a Series X this holiday? That's the question. Versus keep what you got. That's the question.
Or Paris, 600. We don't know yet.
I'm trying to be. I don't think it'll be 600. I think that's insanity. But we'll see. Okay. We'll see here in a couple of weeks.
All right, Pete, you want to say anything about that?
I'm not surprised at the question because it truly makes sense. There isn't a tentpole title to come out, and like Paris said, Flight Simulator would be something that could be considered a launch title. And I really think Microsoft, if I put this gently, I really think Microsoft needed to have a thicker catalog of launch titles coming out with the launch of Series X. I think and who knows what the reasoning for it was. Maybe the hardware just came quicker. And maybe the hardware is coming out quicker than the way the games can be developed. Cause who knows? I don't have the answer for this, but I really don't think they've got that title that they can, you know, they can mount the flag on top. Halo could have been that one, but with Halo getting the delay and Flight Simulator not being the one that's going to be out there, I think it's a mistake having a service as your launch title for the hardware.
I don't see that as a mistake. I don't see it as a mistake because if they don't have nothing, then what is the point? So I think that's a bonus that
it's a benefit.
They're available.
It's definitely a benefit, but it's not something that is going to have people running out to the stores to buy it outside of those who maybe have the original Xbox One. Or their hardware is starting to feel its age. But I don't see someone, and that's maybe just me because I'm, you know, I don't play consoles anymore, right? I'm on PC, so I still get the benefit because I've got Game Pass, but I don't see the title that has me running out. And this is probably, you know, we've had this conversation, you know, numerous times here on the show. I don't see the actual title that says Peter has to go out and buy an Xbox Series X.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we play the next question?
Do we really want to? We were already at an hour.
What? One more. That's it.
You know what? I'm the captain. No, I'm kidding.
Hey.
All right, hold on. Let me find the next one here. All right, here we go. The next voicemail.
Hey guys, it's Jimmy C here in Naples, Florida. So I just have a quick question.
So it's about ecosystem and everything. I hear you, there's the console wars and everything. And, you know, it doesn't matter what PC you have, as long as it's powerful enough to play a game, you could have a Dell or, you know, whatever, and it will play your video game. A phone, if you have an Android phone, doesn't matter if it's made by Samsung, Sony, Microsoft, it'll play the games that are made for that phone. So TV, Sony, Samsung, whatever, it'll play Netflix. So what would this world look like? I know the console makers lose a lot of money on their console. So what would it look like if you could just pick your console and play whatever games, and that the manufacturers would put out the games for any console you have? And if you like the Xbox, you play the Xbox because you like their controller and it's quieter. And you could play the PlayStation games because they're, you know, it seems smart, you know, because then they would be able to sell games to everybody and not just to their ecosystem, and there wouldn't be any more console war. So,
oh, I cut it off a little short, but we got the point. Thank you for the voicemail. And I would just simply say what he is describing is called PC gaming. That's literally what it is. I can play with a damn controller I want, however I want. And the fact that you're now seeing PlayStation openly admit they're going to bring more of their games there. We already have Xbox bringing their games there. That the scenario, the nirvana that he's talking about, that is as close as we will ever get to it, because beyond that, and look, Nintendo is like, screw you, you're never getting our games. But that's as close as we'll ever get to that. At least we're also seeing, from a third-party gaming standpoint, more and more companies starting to adopt crossplay, so that it doesn't matter what platform you're on, you can all still play together the same game. Obviously, we know Fortnite was a big champion of that. We're seeing others. Fall Guys is eventually going to get there one day. I know Destiny 2 is planning to go there by next year, and they obviously already do cross-save. So we're seeing more and more games adopt that, at least. But yeah, right now, for what he's describing, PC is as close as you're going to get to that. So what do you think, Pete?
I would love it. That's it's a pipe dream for everybody to be able to play it. And I think we've all said this in the past. If there were no hardware exclusives or you know, the hardware requirement for exclusivity, that'd be fantastic. But unfortunately, it's a pipe dream, right? I would love to be able to play Spider-Man on my PC. I would love for, you know, a PlayStation owner to be able to play Halo and experience the amazing storyline of the entire Halo story on a PlayStation. I would love for, you know, people on the an Xbox enthusiast to be able to play Super Mario on his Xbox. That's the pipe dream. That is what everybody would want at any given point in time, right? As a gamer, I would love it, you know, but unfortunately we're beholden to these platforms to play certain titles. I would love it. I think it's fantastic. Will we ever see it? Highly unlikely, unless something major happens that, you know, allows us for that to happen. It's a pipe dream.
Well, what about streaming? I mean, you could do that with playing these games on the phone with certain services. So, like, I know you could do that with Google Stadia and Xbox with Project S Cloud. You could even connect your PlayStation 4 controller, Bluetooth, connect it to your phone and play Halo or whatever Xbox game. You could do that now. So I think that, I know you mentioned PC, but we can't forget also streaming, because that's another way to play those games too. Because there's games that was only available in Japan for the Switch, but it was also streaming in there too. We don't have that here in the States, but I think that's another way too that we haven't brought up. That's the future, in my opinion.
Yeah, but it doesn't answer the question for what Jimmy said on the call, right? It's, you can't play Super Mario on the Xbox, right? You can't play I can't play Horizon Zero Dawn on the Xbox. That's, I think, is what the core question was, right? Is having, you know, not having an exclusive platform for specific titles. It's regardless of the hardware, you're truly hardware agnostic at that point. like as Paris said, PC is the closest you can get, especially now as Sony is starting to unlock some of their titles to the PC, you know, and, you know, allowing, you know, PC only players to play, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn, etc. So will we ever get to that? I would love it. You know, I think that's the end goal, right? That is the end game, right? That is what we all want to see, but I just don't think we'll ever see it.
No, we're not going to see it.
Not in this generation. Not in the next 10, 15 years.
A company like Nintendo, they're not going to do that. Because I know they try to release games mobile apps. And I heard that the company is going to stop doing that because the Nintendo Switch has been getting a lot of sales and support from everybody, not only with the hardware side, but also software. So, yeah, I don't see Nintendo doing that anytime soon. But, yeah, only Xbox and PlayStation, it looks like both companies has been making changes and releasing games not only for the PC, but also for Nintendo Switch. Xbox has been doing that with Cuphead and Ori, you know, so... And Minecraft Dungeons and Minecraft, so that's good. I hope to see that more in the future, man. So, anything else? We're good?
I think that's it.
I think we're good.
All right. So, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Go over there and, share it and support. Also, if you'd like to be part of Fan Mail, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So, Paris or Pete, is there anything else you would like to promote or anything coming up this week? You guys?
Nothing major. I will be streaming later this evening, as usual. I've gotten back to my Sunday night streams. I say it's Sunday night because it's evening. It'll be evening here in Europe. But yeah, it should be about 2 hours, 2.5, 3 hours after the live show here. You know, Sunday nights in the EU or Sunday afternoons in the States. Be back on streaming on the Twitch page. So come and check it out. Have fun.
What about you, Paris? You have anything coming up for your...
Nothing that I can... Nothing. I actually have nothing. That's great. It's a good feeling.
He's taking a break. He's taking a break this week. Yeah. By the way, we're going to have Jeff Grubb on our podcast, and it's coming out sometime this week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. That's going to be a very interesting conversation. So he's always been posting dates of announcements from Next Gen. So I can't wait to talk about it with him. And so he's going to be on the show. Can't wait. So stay tuned for that. And that's about it. We're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio 1067. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.